Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So, Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday. I did not confirm a kill on the fly. I know that. I think that he was hit. There was definitely one of my swats was just really impressive, like a Guillermo Vilas, like forehand, just rip. I had a complete rip on this thing. I had an angle on it, and I had him completely dead to rights. And I, because this is the fastest fly I've seen in the literally in maybe a decade. this is a bullet fly right out of Japan. I mean, one of those trains. This thing's moving at a high rate of speed. And when he moved, I mean, you are not catching this fly. He's a veteran. He's a leader. And he's a winner. And he was doing everything in the world to mess with me. I mean, I could not get him. But I think I did get him. I think I clipped him. I think I injured him. I know I hurt him. I know I got something. I felt meat. I felt like when I swung, I heard schmack, and I heard just schmackle, and hopefully I got him. Speaking of kills, can you believe that Alex Smith is killing it, that this guy has been cleared for football activities after literally obliterating his leg? Do you remember that the break that this guy had? And did you see the documentary on Alex Smith when they showed like entire chunks of his leg removed in surgeries? He's had like a bunch of surgeries, and there's just giant chunks of his leg missing. I mean, it was the most vile thing you've ever seen in your life. And he has been training in Hawaii and has literally passed all the tests. They have cleared him to play football. I can't even fathom that. We'll talk about it on the bench.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Smith did Project 11, the documentary. Remember, if you saw it, you would have been grossed out seeing his leg. It was crazy. So here's the deal. He's going to the team facility, Washington, on Monday for a team physical, which is different than the doctors that have worked on him clearing him. He's been cleared to play football, but not by the team, not by the Washington football team. That's their new name. They have not cleared him. But I guess it's a positive step where he's at right now, right? That he's even, I can't even believe they even mention clearing him, let alone actually doing it, right? So he underwent another round of imaging, x-ray, CT scan. He returned home to Washington. His team of doctors, including orthopedic trauma surgeons, plastic surgeons, head of Washington team physician, actually. So I guess the Washington team physician was in on it, as well as a doctor from the Center for the Intrepid, and who served as a consultant throughout Smith's post-op care, discussed the imaging results before meeting with Smith and his wife to share their findings. Everyone was in agreement that my bone was in a good place. I had healed a lot. They said that given the combination of the rod and where I was with the healing, I had zero limitations and could even resume football. To hear them say that from a life standpoint, that they wouldn't restrict me from doing anything. I could go skiing or snowboarding tomorrow. And on top of that, to get the green light that I could practice, get contact, that I had healed. And that was pretty much wild to hear. I didn't know if I'd ever hear those words. For me, all eyes are on practice. That's the next step. I have to go prove to myself and everybody that I can practice. He touched on issues. Football players, you sign up to play football. You love everything that comes with it. But the logo you wear on the side of your helmet, the name on the front of your jersey, it is a part of it. So I'm really proud of the organization for making a change, as I think all of my teammates are. I'm excited about new beginnings, excited about new coaching staffs, getting back to winning. But I'm proud of the organization for making the change. He's embarrassed and disgusted by recent Washington Post report about 15 women accusing the team executives of sexual harassment. We're football players on and off the field. But there are a lot of parts of the building that go into game day and a season and the whole business side of the building. And to hear that some of this had been going on, I certainly don't think players ever knew about it. But it's not something any of us are proud of, and it needed to be changed. I have a wife, a daughter, two sisters, and to ever think about something like that happening to them disgusts me, pisses me off. So hopefully we get to where we need to be, an environment and culture that's acceptable for everybody, let everybody thrive, and it's safe for everybody. Well, there you go, Alex Smith. So anyway, here's the deal. I have never seen anyone's leg look worse than that guy's. Now, you talk about Joe Theismann, and you talk about, do you remember the tight end for the Bears or whatever? I can't keep up with all these people's injuries, but I know that I watched the documentary. Did you watch it, Mafia? Were you grossed out? Did you see his leg? I watched the show, and I actually have never seen anything grosser in my life than that guy's leg with the boils on it and the scar tissue and the injuries and the blood and the vein and just the skin grafts and the chunks of his leg missing. I don't even know how to describe it. It was the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. If you've watched the documentary and you watch it, literally you'll like gag when you see his leg. You're like, oh my God, what is that? What in God's name happened to his leg? So what happened was, his leg, basically, when he broke it or whatever, he literally killed it, right? Like, so there was, it became infected, it became MRSA, it became everything else. There was no blood flow. It was gangrene. It was like, they were going to cut it off. They were going to cut off his leg. They were going to amputate it. That's how bad it was. And they did surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. And they finally stuck all these rods in there and pins and, I mean, just like steel. I mean, you should see what they did. He's like the bionic man, the $6 million man. He's like Steve Austin. So I can't, when I saw it, I thought to myself, I remember doing the show after I saw it, right? I remember going on the air and saying, that guy he's lucky he's even walking, let alone that I'm watching him in Hawaii running around, you know, running drills. He was like running between cones and he was starting, stopping, planning, running, taking snaps, dropping back, throwing the ball. He has no problem throwing a ball. The guy broke his leg. Believe me, the guy can throw a ball. So he can do everything. But his leg was so bad, it was like unimaginable. And then I said, there's no way that guy will ever play football again. There's no way that that guy can take a hit on that leg. Like, I would think it'd be like Jenga. Right? Isn't that the game where you pull out the wood and the whole thing tips down? Like, I would think that if he took a shot to that leg, if he took a hit, like just a normal tackle, I think a strong, violent, high-speed collision with a defender, a tackle, like a hit, like a real hit, you know. In the NFL, they don't just, you know, tackle you. They light you up. You get jacked up. You get hit hard. There's no, like, sugar, it's dangerous, it's violent, it's real, and it's a physical force, like a truck hitting a telephone pole. That's what it's like getting tackled in the NFL. So I just couldn't fathom the guy could take a hit, that he could actually take a hit on that leg without it breaking again. And I actually still have my reservations and doubts that he can actually take a hit. It is amazing. Now, I've seen kids break bones, and I've broken bones. And what happens is the older you are, the longer it takes to heal, right? But he's not old. I am. But I've seen kids break their arms and legs, and they heal faster, and their bones heal allegedly stronger than when they broke them, right? I don't know if you knew that or not, but they grow back and the bone comes back to life and they heal and they're stronger than ever. The kids break their legs all the time, feet, arms, hands, wrists, you name it, and they bounce back. My kids have broken arms and legs. Because when they're young, they're fragile, right? And they're weak. And so if they take a high impact hit on their body part, they could break it. And that's what happened to mine. Do you remember Mafia? I was like in LA or something on a road trip. And wasn't it a gunner who broke his leg?
We were in Atlantic City, actually, down at the fights, I believe. I think it was that when we were at the B-Hop Pavlik fight down in Atlantic City that he broke his leg, got caught on the slide or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was in L.A. because I was with Jim McClure, I think, in the car on the L.A. freeway when I got the call. We had just landed and we were in a rental car going to like Anaheim to do a fight or something. And then she told me that Gunnar had broken his leg and there was like nothing I could do about it. Right. I was in Los Angeles. I remember. So anyway, the kid healed. They heal fast. But I can't believe that guy could actually take a hit. I can't believe it. Like what I saw, I don't know if anyone ever saw that. If you saw that documentary and you bet on him to take a hit, like to be able to play an NFL season, let's say multiple hits. Let's say, you know, if he were to play a season, do you think he could last? Do you think he could actually take hits to that leg? I just can't believe he could make it in the NFL again, or that he could ever be tackled high speed. You know, he's a quarterback. He's not someone that can avoid it. There's no avoiding it. Like you have a line that protects you only so much, and then you're a sitting duck and you get lit up. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Bob Nightingale. He was at the Cubs Brewers game tonight on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all on the bench, let's go out to Bob Nightingale now. I want to see, how were you covering the game from afar, the Cubs-Brewer game? How did you do it?
I did it from the rooftop. It went old school. So I was in the Murphy Bleachers rooftop and watched it from there, talking to some fans and things like that. Kyle Busch was here, the NASCAR driver. So it was actually kind of cool to do it this way.
Wow, that's crazy. What a great institution that place is, Murphy's Bleachers. I've drank in that place 100 times. What a great place. And that's really cool that you covered the game that way. Did you think it was cool?
I did. You know, it's the first place you can have fans watch a game. So they were, thrilled. Obviously, you know, not too many people allowed on the rooftop. I think only 18, 20 people. But yeah, it was a, it's kind of an eerie feeling. I mean, usually the streets are packed around a game, kind of wide open, you know, the Cubs, gift shop had 9 people in there. So it's such a strange environment, but yet, you know, still that passion of Cubs fans.
Did you, somehow you pulled that off? How did you pull that off? And did you meet, Kyle Busch? Was, he available to people, or was he just minding his own business? Everybody stayed away from him.
No, he was a talking to people, and they could have been nicer. I never never met him in my life, and sweetheart of a guy. And he's been going to a Cubs game. He says he goes to a Cubs game at least once a year for the last 20 years, and he's been every single major league ballpark except for the new ballpark in Arlington, Texas. So a huge baseball fan.
Wow, I didn't know that. Did you know that, you didn't know him, but did you know he was a baseball fan, or you found that out tonight?
Found that out tonight. Yeah, no, I had no idea. I didn't know what he was doing here. But he had a race in Kansas City on Thursday night, drove here 8 hours to make the game. He's gonna stay all weekend with his buddies.
Oh, that's great. I was looking at the game, and boy, they had their problems, the Brewers. Yelich 0-for-4. Smoke 0-for-3, Braun 0-for-3, Garcia 0-for-3, Narvaez 0-for-3, Kane 0-for-3. You get kind of a rhythm here with all the guys with the overs.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Hendricks was like a Maddox type performance. Just unbelievable. Just the so crafty, and I think this guy's came out so amped up. You know, he just carved them up. So I know the Cubs announced, I think he's only the third Cubs pitcher in history to allow 3 or fewer hits on opening day.
So how did he convince, it would appear to me, he convinced Ross to let him go the distance?
Yeah, Ross came out with 2 outs in the ninth. His pitch count, they got up there around 100, a little over 100. And Ross said, "This is your last batter." So, if you get this guy out, you get your complete game. If not, I'm coming to get you. So he understood that.
Wow. So how about Rizzo? We heard about Rizzo's bad back for 2 months as if it was news every day, because no one had anything else to talk about on the face of the earth when it came to baseball other than Rob Manfred's a D, Tony Clark's a D. The owners and players union fought and argued for 4 months. So whenever we had anything to talk about, it was generally at least once a day, Anthony Rizzo's bad back. But he came back in a scrimmage game the other day and hit a home run. And then in the opener, he hit a home run. So much for the bad back.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember DeGrom, same thing, right? Oh, bad back. And You know, is he going to miss it? Is he going to have to start the season on the injury list or something? You know, then he pitches the gym he did today. So, yeah, it kind of shows you, too, that you don't need much of a spring training. These guys are in such great shape and already ready to play that you don't need much of a spring training to get ready.
So what was the deal with Rizzo? What was he? Did he have like this hand sanitizer? Did he have it like in a bottle or something? What was he was giving players hand sanitizer over at first base? What was that about?
Well, he said he had told his friends, "Hey, the first guy that gets on, I'm going to give the guy some hand sanitizer." And he had kind of forgot about it. He said that a few days ago or last couple weeks. He said, and so when Arcia reached first base, he goes, "Oh, that's right." To pull it out and score someone's hand. He goes, "You know me, I like to have fun." And so, you know, it's a different, unique season, everything else. Let's have some fun with it. And that's what he did.
How about Ian Happ with a big two-run shot?
Yeah, I think he hit one last year on opening day. So as he joked at press conference afterwards, "I can't wait till next 2021 opening day. Hopefully I can hit a few more in between hand." But, especially with a short season, you get off to a hot start, man, it's going to give you a lot of confidence and may make a lot of money too, because those numbers, you multiply by 2.7, that's what your stats will read during a salary arbitration. So yeah, a good start's more important than ever.
So I was on the TV today and there were people on the show saying, yeah, that the Cubs and Brewers and Cardinals aren't good teams. I swear to God, someone said that to me today, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "What?" I said, "What did you say to me? What did you say to me?" That's what I said to the guy. I go, "What did you just say?" And he said, "Yeah, he said the Brewers don't have any pitching, and that the Cardinals and have Flaherty. That's it. And the Cubs rely on hitting. They have no pitching." I'm like, and he said that Lester was a bum. I was like, "What?"
Wow. Well, Lester, what a great free agent signing that was. I mean, it's been worth every penny and more. Yeah, I'm picking the Cardinals. I mean, it's the same team as they had, and they have a lot of veterans. I like veteran teams, during this short season, and they still got, stud pitchers throughout the organization, led by Flaherty. Wainwright can still pitch well. So, yeah, it should be a fun division. I give a slight nod to the Cardinals.
Do you get to go back on that rooftop tomorrow and Sunday, or what's the plan?
Well, I'm going to go traditional tomorrow. I'm going to go sit in the press box with everybody else, watch the game from there. Then I'll go to watch the White Sox on Sunday and see what they're up to. And then off to Houston. See, I want to be there for the Astros-Dodgers with all the bad blood and guys, chirping away during spring training. We'll see if there has any repercussions when they're actually playing games.
Well, I want to talk about the White Sox for a second before you get off Chicago. So you're going to go there Sunday and watch the White Sox. And I know there's a lot of people that think that they have some talent and that they're, and I'm one of them. They have some pitching. They definitely have some hitting. Do you like the White Sox on paper at the very least?
I like them a lot more a year from now. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs in 10-team format. 16, hey, they got a chance. Everybody does. But just a young team like that, a rebuilding team. I think this pandemic really hurts the rebuilding team because you need those guys, that young guys, to develop and stuff. Some of these guys aren't quite ready. So, I think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I don't think they have a chance to win the division. Or much of a chance to win the division, but I really like them next year. I mean, I could see myself for sure picking them to win the division next year, maybe going deep.
So, what did you think, Bob Nightingale, of Kershaw pulling up lame and the job Dustin May did last night?
Tell you what, May's a stud. I mean, the Dodgers are such a great organization. I mean, you just keep producing these guys. Dustin May is going to be a top two or three starter for a long time. He's very good. I thought he'd be, doing better stuff already, but he will. And Kershaw, that's how deep they are. You kind of worry about, if Kershaw continues to have a bad back without David Price, but they're still so good. I wish they had Price. I think he would definitely win the World Series, but we'll see. They're still the heavy favorite, of course, to win the National League.
So without Price, do you think with let's say May and others, can they do you, and the deal they signed with Betts, can they still win the World Series? You know, we've been waiting for that so long that I'm kind of bored with it. 1988.
Yeah, there's so much deeper than everybody else, deeper than the Yankees, whoever, you know, wherever you want to compare them to. So they got a juggernaut there. I never thought we'd ever see the day that some team would win 14 straight division titles like the Braves. Well, I do with the Dodgers. They won 7 in a row, and I don't see anybody stopping them. I really don't. I think this thing's going to continue. I think Andrew Freeman has just, you know, been ingenious over there. Remember now, I mean, it's not like they're buying championships. This guy with Betts, he's the first guy Andrew Freeman ever gave over, you know, $95 million to. So they're doing a lot of homegrown talent.
That's pretty smart when you think about it. Respectfully, I have a minute, then we'll break and come back and ask you some more questions. But, you know, what did you think of the Betts deal? And they're going to be paying him until he's in his 50s, apparently.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just, you know, during the pandemic, I thought, okay, no one's going to get their kind of money. You know, he probably made a mistake by not getting the, you know, turning down $300, $325 million for the Red Sox. And then, boom, you know, he still gets that kind of deal. You know, he would have not have gotten a better deal if he's a free agent. So, brilliant move by him.
So, when we come back, we'll talk to Bob Nightingale about the Astros and how they're kind of getting away with murder, because no one's going to give them any grief anywhere unless it's the other team that they're playing. Like, let's say the Dodgers go there and hook up with them, and maybe the bad blood boils over and there's some beanballs. We saw last week three of them get beaned in one game against the Royals in a wild game. We'll talk about the Astros. We're talking to the great Bob Nightingale, who was on a rooftop at Wrigley. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So Bob Nightingale is going to go down to Houston next week and watch the Astros. And obviously, Verlander went tonight. Do you think that they are getting away with murder because there's no fans to abuse them, and that the only opposition that they're going to face, I guess, is if the media brings it up again, which I kind of think it's going to die. There's not much left to it when there's no fans screaming and yelling at him and giving him abuse. Or I guess all that would be left is if you guys follow some story of like when the Royals were beaning him last week.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals was just unintentional. I mean, I think two of them were with the bases loaded. You know, those guys are just a young team. I think, you know, hitting them with changeups or something. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, even if there were fans, you wonder, well, with everything the country has gone through, do we really care that much about a team stealing baseball signs? You know, who cares in the long run? But with no fans at all, yeah, I mean, who's going to boo them? The groundskeepers, you know, the bat boys? You know, it's like these guys, that's where I think they have a chance to go deep. I like the Oakland A's a lot. I end up still sticking with them. But I thought the Astros were going to just self-implode. During spring training there, you know, they were falling apart there in March. Just the media scrutiny, you know, the only 5 or 6, you know, 7,000 fans at ballparks, they were booing them, and some of these guys couldn't handle it. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody benefited by the pandemic, it's the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I actually think, believe it or not, that they're going to have some bad luck. I think karma's a B, and I think they deserve it. And I don't respect them at all. I'm sorry. I think I've had this conversation with you before. I am offended. I am a believer that they cheated. And I think that they've been cheating ever since. In fact, I think they cheated all 3 years. And so I don't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. I think their owner's an idiot. And I think the only thing good they did was get rid of the GM and the manager. Neither, you know, I don't think anyone took responsibility. You know, they brag about how they paid a fine and that they fired the GM and the coach. What more do you want? We won the World Series fair and square, and we're not giving it back. And we did earn it. And I how stupid do you think people are to like listen to that and actually fall for it or buy it? Like, I'm not buying that guy Crane's BS. That's all it was, Bob. I don't care what you say.
No, I mean, the one thing I will say in talking to those guys, you know, privately and stuff, is that they were convinced that they don't, you know, what they did was wrong, but they were convinced other teams are doing it as well. And I believe that as well, that they, you know, they got caught because Mike Fiers was a whistleblower. The Red Sox didn't have a guy like that. The Yankees didn't have anybody like that. Neither did the Dodgers. But there was so much speculation about other teams doing the same thing. You know, maybe they took it to a different level, or you know, but I can't believe they were smarter than everybody else because they were just inviting teams to cheat. You know, it's almost like, you know, back in the PED era, when, you know, oh, man, they cheated. Well, there were no rules back then. Same thing with this thing. You know, there were moral rules, but there weren't rules like, okay, you can't do this. You know, they were doing it because they could get away with it. So, you know, yeah, they cheated, but were they the only team? No, not even close.
Are you surprised that Alex Rodriguez has gotten away with all of his lies and that he's become so gigantic in television and that he's even, I think, unsuccessfully, but he's trying to buy the Mets? I don't think he's going to get the Mets. I still believe Cohen, and I think that Harris group in Philly has more money. And I think the Cohen offer, he already owns a piece of the team and he's offering $4 billion allegedly. I don't, you know, think A-Rod and all of it, he's got so many investors. It's like it's a circus. But are you surprised that he had lied as much as he did through all of it? Like, he was the biggest liar ever, right? And, you know, then you get into the Clemens and Bonds thing, but A-Rod topped the cake. Like, he literally was going on Fat Cessa's show in New York and lying through his teeth every chance he got. Are you surprised he's gotten all this fame after his career in television and that he's so gigantic, even though the Sunday Night Baseball booth that he was working on at ESPN, the ratings were terrible, but people still... I mean, he walks in a room, you'd think he was Jesus.
I never seen a guy rehab his image as much as he has. And I've talked to people. I say, we've seen guys go the other way, you know, O.J. Simpson, for instance, that type of thing. But for a guy to have his image that bad, you know, just hated, you know, the worst guy in baseball history, you know, people thinking, you know, getting suspended for an entire season and then become a face of baseball, you know, where baseball is leaning on him and having him go to London and, you know, be a ambassador. I've never seen that before with anybody. So it's like mind boggling. So no, I think he's he's certainly not the favorite. It's still Steve Cohen. But when it shocked me, his group got it. You know, not with some of the small investors. That's not a big thing. But if you have enough big investors, and hey, Cohen got his blemishes too. I mean, you know, the security fraud and everything else, and paying over $1 billion in fines, the guys in this group that went to prison. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, who's the right guy here.
Wow, that I didn't know all that. So he's you're telling me that Cohen's had a litany of accusations against his company for being dirty in financial circles.
Yeah, security fraud. I want to say he had either 7 or 8 guys that went to prison. He did not, but he had to pay over $1 billion in fines.
Jesus.
You know, I don't know how true it is, but you know that show Billions. You know, they said that's modeled after him. So you know, I'm not sure what's going on. But no, he was when he was trying to get a team earlier. I want to say he was up. Yeah, he was definitely up for the Dodgers years ago before the Guggenheim group got it. Right. And baseball wasn't even considering him. Like, wait a minute now. You know, we don't trust you. We think there's too much in your past. You know, now they seem like enough time's gone by, but he was dismissed early on in that whole Dodger bid.
What is he, Bobby Axelrod?
right, Bobby Axelrod. It's a great show, but yeah. But I hear it's modeled after him.
Wow.
Yeah, but no, he's got a. It's not like he's got a clean slate by any means.
You know, my friend is Koppelman, the guy that wrote it, and Billions, and he's been on the show a bunch of times over the years. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but we used to hang out a little bit and golf and stuff. But he, I'll have to ask him if they modeled it after Steve Cohen. I didn't know all this juice that you're. I mean, you're just breaking stories left and right tonight. The Kyle Busch is a baseball fanatic. He goes to games all over the majors. Also, Steve Cohen is Bobby Axelrod. Listen, Mafia, are your boy Nightingale? I always knew he was the best, but tonight he's really. I mean, he's really shining the shoes tonight, Mafia. Your boy Nightingale.
Big honesty look.
All right, so let me get back to reality here for a second. All right, so I'm so overwhelmed by all that. So the Yankees and Mets, all right, so like I'm so staggered by what you just told me. I can't even think straight. I can't even get back to the show. I started thinking about Bobby Axelrod. I swear to God. And you know what? I have to say, the ending of that show really sucked because the COVID ruined production and they never finished the season. And so it just got ruined, and it was devastating to fans of the show, which I am a fan of the show. It's one of my favorite shows. I have other shows that I like better than that show, but I've watched every episode of that show from day one, and I was disappointed about the COVID ruined the shooting of it, and it was devastating for me. But the Yankees, what did you think of seeing Stanton for the first time actually be healthy in about a year and a half and step up and just take Scherzer fatty deep 470? Like, you got to be kidding me. That was a bomb. If that guy is healthy, which he never is, and if Judge is hitting a couple singles and he's never healthy, but if those two are healthy for 60 games, forget about it. That Yankee team's going to destroy people.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that was a great sign to see what Stanton does, and we all know what he's capable of. Obviously, everybody knows about Judge as well. But yeah, if those two guys are healthy, you know, watch out. The AL East will be over. They'll just bludgeon people with the bats. Yeah, very good team. A deep team, too. We saw that last year. So they have as much chance. You know, they get to World Series, too. I mean, obviously, the TV networks and the MLB, they're green World Series, obviously, is Yankees-Dodgers.
Yeah, too bad it never happens anymore. It did when we were young, Bob, and now we're not young anymore, and it never happens. And I think it kind of sucks. What do you think of Cespedes? Boy, he really got a hold of one today at Citi Field. We haven't seen him for a year and a half either with all his problems, chasing wild boar, everything else. That guy's a lunatic. But he looked really healthy today and ripped, because I haven't watched summer camp or whatever they called it with the Mets. I'm not a Met fan, but I do appreciate and respect DeGrom. And I like watching Pete Alonso swing a bat. And I think Cespedes, he took him to the World Series or whatever, he carried him on his back then when he had the bat going and he was for real and he was hitting bombs. He hit one today.
Yeah, I picked those guys to win the NL East. I want the veteran teams. If Cespedes bounces back, obviously they get that pitching staff. A lot of depth. You know, when Michael Wacha is your number five guy, that's a pretty good staff. I got to think that Diaz is really going to bounce back from a year ago. So that's going to be a fun division. I think, you know, that division, maybe NL Central too, but particularly the NL East, maybe the most fun division in baseball. Because outside of Miami Marlins, you can make a case for, you know, the other four teams.
So my Pirates had a rally on the Cardinals tonight, fell short, obviously, with their $5 payroll, but they lost to them 5-4. Flaherty had it all going for most of that game, but the bullpen blew it a little bit, and the Pirates got back in the game. Do you like the I know we talked about the Cardinals before, but Flaherty's a guy I think is amazing.
Oh, I do, too. I think he's the best young pitcher in baseball. I think I picked him for the Cy Young Award. So, tremendous guy, tremendous work ethic. You know what's funny about funny about him is his contract. He's making, I think, $605,000 this year. And remember now, those guys got upfront money early on during the when baseball was shut down. And so, here's a guy, as good as he is, he's going to be pitching for free the whole season. He is not get a single paycheck the rest of the way. Because he's already got, he already got paid $286,500 through May, which is more than his prorated contract. So here's a guy playing for nothing.
Wow, that is crazy. Look at Nightingale. That's 3 for 3 tonight, Mafia. He is literally, if I threw him another pitch, he's going to go 4 for 4. In fact, he just hit one on Waveland Avenue with that kind of breaking news that Flaherty's playing for not a penny because he already got paid before the whole thing happened. That's crazy. I, Bob, I have nothing else to say to you. You've been so good tonight on the air. I'm just going to end it right now. You're just unbelievable. What a performance by you. Enjoy the Cub game tomorrow and the White Sox game on Sunday. You're a badass. I'll be in touch.
All right. Sounds great, buddy. Take care.
Maybe we'll talk from Houston next week when you do the Astros series. That sounds like fun. I'll call you then. I love Bob. He's crazy. How about Bob breaking stories left and right? Just crazy. Bob Nightingale busting stories all over the place. There's something else I wanted to talk about before I get out of here, too. And we got Morenci coming up. So maybe I'll ask him about it. I can't remember what it is. Early for Alzheimer's. I'm still blown away by Steve Cohen as Bobby Axelrod. So anyway, everybody's telling me, Mafia and others, that it was Kurt Busch and not Kyle Busch. Kurt Busch is the Cub fan. Kurt Busch is the brother and the baseball fan. He goes to every stadium in the majors. He goes everywhere. So he was at Wrigley tonight on the rooftop at Murphy's Bleachers with Bob Nightingale having a good time. That was a really cool story. Also a cool story about Steve Cohen being Bobby Axelrod on Billions. That was a cool story. And then Jack Flaherty is making no money the rest of the season in baseball because they already paid him $250,000 or whatever before the COVID. So he gets nothing the rest of the way. That's crazy. Like Nightingale, 3 for 3. Morenci's up next, Sports Rage. Gabe, how's it going, dude? You know, we're only talking about finals tonight on this thing. I talked to Cam earlier. I ate a cold crow sandwich after he hit the Jays over the Rays tonight. What was your favorite game besides the Jays tonight? Any of them stand out to you? How about right when you left the air with me on Coast to Coast, literally 5 seconds after you ended the show with me? Assessment has hit that home run.
Yeah, a big win for the Mets. You know what? I cashed with the Toronto Blue Jays as well. It was one of the underdogs that I played this evening. I'm telling you, Scotty, the Jays have a dangerous lineup. They're all juniors. They're all sons of big league stars, but they're raw, but they're extremely dangerous. Crazy story about Flaherty. So in other words, I made more money tonight betting on him than he made winning for me.
Yes. He doesn't make any money at all. Now I'm gonna hit 9 games tonight.
I made $158 bucks.
That's solid. I hit 9 games tonight. I'm pretty happy. I'm used to watching my Pirates lose and everything else. Hey, what's your thoughts, real fast, on Alex Smith? Can you believe doctors have cleared that guy to play with that leg of his? Have you ever seen that flesh eating thing he had going on his leg? Oh, I guess I'm out of time.
I just can't believe he'll probably get signed before Kaepernick does again.
Have a good weekend, Morenci. Great job, Mavi. Good night, everybody. See you Monday.